Hopefully we've all been strengthened, encouraged by this good singing we've had this evening and by the words of those songs. And I think that maybe I'll put this guy on. I feel a little hoarse. In Luke chapter 22, verse 32, Jesus made that statement to Peter, "When thou art converted, to strengthen thy brethren." So, as a way of invitation, as a way to, for each of us to examine, are we truly converted? We want to use that as the basis for our thoughts this evening. And first, let's talk about the importance of being converted. You might ask, why is that necessary? The first passage there from Acts chapter 3, verse 19 says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." And so we need to understand that there are sins that are on our ledger, and that if we wish to have those removed, if we wish to have those blotted out, then conversion is necessary. That's something that we're going to have to process, that we're going to have to go through. Matthew chapter 18, verse 3 says, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." So again, if we wish to be a part of the kingdom of heaven, then conversion is going to have to be a part of our lives. And the last one there, and from James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20 says, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death." And so from this passage we see this speaking to brethren. People who have at one time been converted, it's possible to err from the truth. And if that's the case with any of this evening, we need to be converted again, as this passage would tell us. And so perhaps there's those in the audience this evening who have never undergone that conversion process that those first two passages speak of. Or maybe there's those of us in the audience who have, but yet we've erred from the truth and we need conversion again. And let me suggest to you that when people are converted, there's some things that happen and continue to happen in their life. And we might first notice that conversion is change. When people are converted, they're necessarily changed, and that's what that word means. From the Greek, it says to be turned or changed from one substance or state to another, and quite often it's translated as turn, return, or turn about. And in this conversion process, let me suggest to you that there's three things. There's three conversions that has to happen. And that first one is, we have to be, those people who are converted, when people are converted, they are first changed in their mind by faith. Romans 10:17, there's a very well-known passage. "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." If we're to be changed in our mind, it's going to be through faith and through our study, through our listening to and observing the Word of God. The second passage there talks about us being changed in our mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." So if we're to be changed, it's going to begin in our minds. And notice in Acts chapter 2, open your Bibles there if you would please, to that first sermon that Peter preached. And we see that these people indeed changed in their mind. And in Acts chapter 2, first of all, beginning at let's notice that in verse 13 maybe. Here, Peter and the other apostles have performed miracles. They've been speaking in languages that they had never understood, never studied, but yet they understand those. And in verse 13, notice that some of the people say, others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." So the people's attitude toward Peter, especially, and the other apostles is, they're drunk. That in their mind, they believe that they're drunk. But Peter, in verse 14, says, "Standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, You men of Judea, and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words." Listen to my words. And so Peter goes on to say, no, we're not drunk. This is what was prophesied of by God, and it's coming to pass. And he further goes on to say that the people in his audience were the ones who crucified Jesus. And skip down to verse 37 now, and we see that these people have indeed changed in mind. They've been undergoing this conversion process. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter, and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do?" You see, that anger is going away. That misconception that they're drunken idiots is going away. They've been changed in their mind. Secondly, we suggest that not only does one have to be changed in their mind, but when people are converted, their practice changes as well. They're changed in practice. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10 says, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance." Matthew chapter 21, if you might open up your Bibles to there, that gives us a definition of what repentance really means. For Matthew chapter 21, verse 28 and 29, verse 28, "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, 'Son, go to work today in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward he repented and went." So what is involved in repentance? Well, it's a change in practice, isn't it? This son first would not engage in the work. But when he repented, he changed his practice. He went and engaged in the work. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. It says, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the true and living God." And so there was a change in practice to the Thessalonians. They were serving idols, but their change in practice was serve the true and living God. And the last passage, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 4, tells us that people will see this change in our lives. "And wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you." People knew how you used to live. But now they can see that in this conversion process, your practice has changed. And lastly, that when people are converted, they're changed in state as well. Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. You see, that's our state. That's our destiny. But in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, after those people had changed in mind, that's what should we do? They were told to repent and be baptized for the remission of their sins. Their state would be changed by baptism. 1 Peter 3:21 says that baptism doth also now save us. See, it's that act that changes our state from being lost to that of being saved. And Romans chapter 6, let's notice those passages together if you will. Turn in your Bible there. Romans chapter 6, and we'll notice just a couple of verses. Verse 3, beginning. "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death?" Skip down now to verse 17. "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." See, there's a change in practice as well as a change in state. No longer are they burdened down with sin, but they have been made free from sin by that baptism. So, not only are people, when they are converted, are they changed, but let me suggest to you, they're also constant. You say, well, how can that be? You can't be changed and constant. Well, considering the context, you can. When people are converted, you've undergone those steps. Well, there's some constancy to your life as well, and that would be in the Lord's service. Constantly feeding upon the Word of God. 1 Peter there, chapter 2, verse 2 says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word of God." You'd be constantly worshiping. Ron's done a good job of encouraging us to assemble together, not forsaking assembling. He read this morning Psalms 122, verse 1, where David said, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us come into the house of the Lord.'" So when people are converted, they're constantly feeding upon the Word of God, constantly worshiping. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17 says, "Pray without ceasing." We're constantly in prayer. And last one, they're constantly working. 1 Corinthians 15, 58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast." Always working, always abounding in the work of the Lord, that you know that your labor is not in vain. So when people are converted, they're changed, they're constant, and lastly, as Peter was, they're charged to strengthen the brethren. Luke 22:32, the verse we began with there, Peter was told, "You strengthen the brethren when you've been converted." So if we've been changed and we're constant in the Lord's service, then we also need to be charged to strengthen our brethren. Notice in Acts chapter 4 how Peter answered that charge. In Acts 2, he stood up among those who were his enemies and taught that first gospel sermon. But here in chapter 4, he does a job of strengthening those brethren. You remember that he's been told, don't preach Jesus anymore. And in verse 19 in Acts chapter 4, it says, "But Peter and John answered and said to them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you, then unto our God judge ye." For we cannot but speak the things which we've seen and heard. Well, what was the result of that? Notice verse 21. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. People were encouraged by the actions of Peter. Skip on down to verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. What was the outcome of that? And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that thought of the things which he possessed of his own, but they had all things in common. And that charge is laid to us as well. In Romans chapter 14, verse 19, it says, let us follow therefore after the things which make for peace, and things which wherewith we may edify one another. So, this evening, have you undergone the conversion process? Have you been changed in mind by faith, by hearing the Word of God? Have you been changed in practice by repentance? Has your practice changed? And have you been changed in state by baptism? If not, then we encourage you to do so. There's no greater thing you can do than be converted. Or maybe there's some here this evening who state at one time was changed by baptism and now you've erred away. Acts 8, verse 22 there, Simon was told to repent and pray. James 5, 16 tells us to confess our faults before men and to pray for forgiveness. The prayer of the righteous man availeth much. So maybe that's your condition this evening. Are you constant in the Lord's service? If you're not constant in the Lord's service, then you haven't been converted. You may have undergone these first three things, but you're not truly converted. Are you charged to strengthen the brethren? Is that something that you engage in? If not, then you haven't truly been converted. We'd encourage you to do that this evening. One last passage. Notice that the Ephesian brethren had done all of these things, I believe, and we see it in this writing here in chapter 4, beginning at verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is with them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned. If so be that ye have heard Him, and have been taught by Him as truth in Jesus Christ, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The Ephesian brethren had undergone this change that began in their mind. Notice that it has changed their practice as well. Verse 24. And that you put on a new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, wherefore put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but let him rather labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Skip to verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. A change in practice is being encouraged here. How about encouraging the brethren? Jump back up to verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to use for edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away with you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sakes, has forgiven you. So this evening, have you been converted? That's the question. Are you engaged in these things that we spoke of? If not, then we beg you, please come as we stand and sing the song that was selected.